Good morning, church. It's good to see you today. It's good to be back. And I just want to say thank you. Last Sunday went very well. And I know it's a little different, but it went very well. It went well at the second service as well. Today it's going to look mostly like what it did last week. We will have a time at the end of the service to share update on prayer requests to let people know what's going on, and we'll let you know what we learned in the second service, and just kind of keep everybody tied in and connected. But we still will be released, and then we can hang out in the parking lot, and we can talk outside. So remember, we're keeping this up the month of June, and then the elders can reassess and see where we need to be after that. But we will keep doing that. All right, I wanted to begin this morning from Psalm 51. Psalm 51, have mercy on me, O God. According to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, you delight in truth in the inward being, and you teach me wisdom in the secret heart. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit. It is a psalm of David. David cries out to God, and this is after he's been caught. This is after he's been caught in adultery. This is after he's been caught destroying a life and a marriage. He has sinned against others, and he has the nerve, he has the audacity to cry out to God and say to God, my sin is before you. I have sinned against you. And you wonder why that is, and you think, oh, wait a minute, David, you sinned against some others. I mean, we can go back and look at the story. Other people were hurt in your sin. Other people were directly affected by how you've been acting. How can you possibly say that? It's an interesting song. It's an interesting prayer. And I want us to remember something. The reason why David could cry out to God like that is because God is the only one that could give David the clean heart that he needed. God is the only one that can create within us a clean heart to renew our spirit. Now, that doesn't just allow us to do whatever we want to anyone else and just think, well, I don't have to apologize for anything. But what it does is it reminds us that no one else granting us forgiveness is as powerful as the forgiveness that we need from God. Because fixing a relationship with another person, that's not going to make us a better person. It may clear the slate here, but it's not going to give us a heart that actually desires to do good. It's not going to give us a spirit that is formed and shaped and wanting to do the things that God does. It's going to help us a little bit as we get into the Word today. But I wanted us to begin as we come together to remember that our sins are before God. And God is the one that forgives us. God is the one that wipes us clean. God is the one that makes us whiter than snow through the blood of Jesus. So as we come before Him, as we offer up our sacrifice of praise, as we give Him all that we have, we receive first. We receive the sacrifice of Jesus on our behalf. Let's go to our Father in prayer. Heavenly Father, we are very grateful to join together in Your holy name. Father, we thank You for Your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank You for providing for us a sacrifice willing and worthy to bear all of our sins. Father, we confess to You, we've done wrong. We have sinned. We have thought and said and acted in ways that You are not, well, that do not go along with Your will. We confess, Father, to You that we are not the people that we wish to be. We confess, Father, to You that we have strayed. And we thank You so much for the forgiveness that You provide us in Jesus Christ. We thank You so much for washing us clean, for covering us through the blood of Your Son, for granting us His righteousness so that we may face each day, that we may be in Your presence, that we may be close to one another. Blessed be Your name, Lord. And now that our hearts have been washed clean, now that our sins are forgiven, we come to You with joy. We come to You with thanksgiving. And we offer You a sacrifice of praise. We offer You the confession of our tongues that Jesus Christ is Lord. We offer You songs of glory that exalt You to Your rightful place. Father, we praise Your name together. And I ask that You fill us with Your Spirit so that Your will be our will, that our steps will be Your steps. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Turn your song book, 718. 718. We shall assemble. Seven, one, eight. We shall assemble on the mountain. We shall assemble at the throne. With humble hearts into His presence, we bring an offering of song. Glory and honor and dominion unto the Lamb, unto the King. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. We sing the song of the redeemed. 611. 611. Walking in sunlight. Walking in sunlight along my journey over the mountains through the deep vale, Jesus has said, I'll never forsake thee. Promise divine that never can fail. Heavenly sunlight, heavenly sunlight, flooding my soul. I am rejoicing, singing His praises. Jesus is mine. Shadows around me, shadows above me, and
never conceal my Savior and guide.
He is the light, in him is no darkness, ever I'm walking close to his side. Heavenly Son, my son, I ever rejoicing, pressing my faithful mansions above, singing his praises, gladly I'm walking in sunlight of love. Heavenly sunlight, heavenly sunlight, flooding my soul.
Five seven two. Each step of the way, I walk with the Savior each step of the way. I trust him to guide me by night and by day, not dreading tomorrow, nor what it may be. I'm safe in the keeping of Jesus the King. Each step of the way, by night and by day, leads nearer the home, eternally fair, where we shall meet loved ones awaiting us there, who walked here with Jesus each step of the way. With joy we shall enter the city of of wonderful beauty and mansions of fair. His own shall be changed and made welcome a day, because we walk with him each step of the way.
Let's go to God in prayer at this time. Loving Heavenly Father, what a joy it is to be in your presence upon this first day of the week. What a joy it is to be in this assembly with our brothers and sisters in Christ. What a joy it is to be a child of God, to know your love, your mercy, and your grace that you have for all of your children, that you are always there when we need you in time of crisis, in time of despair, in time of desolation. Father, knowing that you are the answer to our prayers, knowing that you care so much for us that you take care of our needs daily, that you watch over us, you protect us, you keep us safe, you give us those things that we need to go about our daily activities. And Father, we are so thankful for all the good things that we receive from you, and most of all, for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. It is in him and through him that we find our salvation. That he walked upon this earth, that he taught the way that we should live. Father, that to love one another and to take care of each other and to share with one another what we have received from you. And help us to walk in his footsteps daily. Help us to be the shining light into the world in this time of dark despair. When people are looking for answers to disease and looking to answers for injustice, Father, help us to turn to you. That through prayer, things can be corrected. And in all things, your will be done. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. 701. My Jesus, I love thee.
My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee all the follies of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior art thou. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now I love.
On one occasion, Jesus asked the 12, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Today, that same question is given to us. Who do we say is, who is Jesus of Nazareth? And we are here gathered to renew the confession that each of us made when we were baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit for the forgiveness of our sins. We confessed, "I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God." If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God, and everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Let's pray. Father, we confess before you our dependence on your grace and on the sacrifice that you made in your Son. And we thank you for the bread that he took and broke and gave to his disciples, that we should remember him in the breaking of bread each time we meet together. It's in his name we pray. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the peace that you have given to us through your Son. And we thank you for this cup of thanksgiving that we drink in remembrance of the blood of the new covenant that was given for the remission of our sins. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Mark your songbooks, number 523 is a song of invitation. 523. 555 be our next song. 555.
Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you, singing Alleluia, Alleluia. Ask and it shall be.
Glad you're here today. It is good to be here. It is a blessing. It is a blessing. All right. last week we came together and we ended the songs of ascent and the psalms of praise. It's like we finished a chapter in that study through those songs and preparing to come back into the presence of the Lord, and we're going to flip a switch, go a new direction, and we're going to tackle head on what's going on around us in this world. And so the next few weeks, we are going to have our faith strengthened and encouraged in God's Word. And hopefully, as we come through, that we will have a better understanding of what's actually going on around us. The news can tell you what it chooses to tell you. The facts are on the street. Jesus said to his followers in Matthew 24, he said, you can go outside and you know whether it's going to rain or not by the signs in the sky. You need to figure out the signs of the time. You need to understand what's going on around you. And some big things are going on around us. Some very big things are going on around us. And we need to be ready. We really do. And that's why we're getting into this. It is not to rail against the world. It is to be prepared against an enemy that is baring his fangs. And I want you to be ready. I want you to be ready. So let's go to our Father in prayer, and then we'll get in the Word this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for bringing us together. And Lord, we do. Just as we have sung this morning, we assemble here in your name. We seek first your kingdom, your will, and your way. And Father, just as we have broken bread, we hold our confession that Jesus Christ is Lord. And as we study your scriptures today, Father, I pray that you fill us all with your Holy Spirit. I pray that as your faithful children, that we are shoring up our faith, that we are being strong, that we are not driven by fear, but that we understand that the Spirit that you have placed within us is a spirit of love and power and self-control. Father, we confess to you that our love and our power and our self-control are sometimes all over the place. We confess to you, Father, that we don't always love others as we should. We confess to you, Father, that we don't always lean upon your power, even understand the power that you have placed within us. But Father, we confess that we don't always control ourselves, that we say and do things that are harmful. Forgive us, Lord, because your kingdom is our desire. Your will being done here on earth just as it is in heaven is truly what we want. So fill us with your Spirit. Give us wisdom from your word today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead and open your Bible to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We have come out of a medical quarantine and find ourselves in the midst of political, civil, and racial unrest. And if it seems that things are moving a little quick, you're not dreaming. They are. They are moving very quick. You know, and as believers, we ourselves are at peace with God through the blood of Jesus. That's what He's made us. That's what He's given us, and it's who we are. And church, we still have a message for this world. We still have a message for this world. It doesn't matter how difficult it gets, how ugly it gets, how different and strange it seems, we still have a message for this world. And this morning we're going to take a look at this message. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I'm going to read verse 11, then I'm going to skip down to 16. In verse 11, Paul writes, "Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade others. But what we are is known to God, and I hope is known also to your conscience." Now, we take a look at verse 11. The text is actually in verse 16. But 11 jumps out because we know the fear of the Lord, and that is why we persuade others. It is very tempting sometimes for the church to become insular and say, well, we know the truth and we know we're sure of our eternal salvation and we know where we're going to end up. We're going to be in the presence of God. And so that's good enough for us. And so in times of difficulty, in times of pressure, and in times of fear, it is very tempting for us to just to look within ourselves and say, okay, well, everybody here is good, so it's all good. But the Apostle Paul reminds us that our fear does not come from external things, what's happening on the street or in larger cities or on the news or anything going on around us. We know the fear of the Lord because the Lord is actually in charge. The Lord is actually above all things. It is God's authority that we all answer to. And since we know the fear of the Lord, let's pick it up in verse 16. And start from there. So from now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no more. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Now, what we're going to take a look at this morning and what is so important about what the Apostle Paul says here In the new order of creation, we live in the new order of God's creation. So we no longer regard anyone according to the flesh. That's not what we do. That's not who we are. Now, what does this have to do with anything? Well, church, I wish it were as simple as saying, you know what? We're just nice people, and there's not a racist bone in our body, and that's just that, and we don't regard anyone according to the flesh, and let's move on. Something bigger going on. Okay? Now, I watch the news. I hear and see what's going on around this country right now and in the world right now. And I've noticed a trend. It's become pretty popular. And that trend is, well, you have sins that you must atone for. But you must atone to another person. That's what's going on around us. And it would be really easy to say, oh, you're absolutely right. I'm going to feel some guilt based on the color of my skin. I'm going to feel some guilt, and so I'm going to answer to another person, and then I will receive atonement. That's a false gospel. It is a lie. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. And those who are falling prey to that are gaining a new master. It's the enemy. It's the enemy. So the Apostle Paul says, hey, look, we are new creation. So we don't regard anyone according to the flesh. Are we different according to the flesh? Do we have different upbringings and different stories and different backgrounds? Absolutely. We all come from different places. We all have different experiences. We all are different. Yet in the new creation, that is not what we are looking towards. In the new creation, we are not regarding one another according to the flesh. We are not regarding one another according to things like the color of our skin or what kind of prosperity or lack thereof that we grew up in or that we have currently achieved. That is not how we regard one another. And just as David understood that we read this morning from Psalm 51, even though his actions had hurt other people, he said, to you alone, God, do I have to answer to? In this new creation, we have to understand that we do not look up to or down to anyone according to their skin color or their origin. And honestly, the up to is as dangerous as the down to. It's two sides of the same coin. It's two sides of the same coin. We have been given, just as the apostles have, just as Paul writes here, we have been given the message of reconciliation. God sees us all the same as wayward children who have sinned. God sees us all the same as needing a Savior, His Son Jesus Christ. That's the truth. That's the message. That's what the entire world needs to hear. And so, it may become very tempting. It may become very tempting to appease the loudest voices in the world today, to appease by some other standard. But church, if we appease by man's standards, we're going to receive man's reconciliation. And that's not what we need. We are to be reconciled to God. That is humanity's need. That is humanity's need. And anything less than God is not going to provide a solution that is going to last. Because even if we could get everybody to what? Apologize for our past, their ancestors' past, or the apologies going left and right. Now, should we recognize if we treat other people wrongly based on the color of their skin? Absolutely. Shouldn't do that. We recognize no one according to the flesh. You don't treat anyone different based on those things. Doesn't matter who you are. But we cannot lower ourselves to something that is less than the gospel, because the things in this world that are less than the gospel do not have the power of the gospel. And so our Father in heaven made Jesus to take on our sin, to carry it to the cross so that we could become his righteousness. And he has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Church, our ministry of reconciliation is calling people back to God. It is calling people back to God. That's what we've been given. We have it, and so we're at peace with God. So we do feel good. We do feel good, and we should. Now, the hard part is actually ministering with the gospel of Jesus Christ. The difficult part is actually standing up and saying, look, we all have a problem. We all have a problem, and our problem is our own sins. And there's one solution. There's one solution. Now, if you haven't noticed, if you have been paying attention, man's solution is getting dangerous. Now, I'll let you in. The enemy's showing his face. He's been running behind the scenes for a long time. And his fangs are bared, and he's showing his face. That's the good news. Now, there's gonna be some heat and some pressure and some pain, because he's gonna lash out. So, church, we have to hold on to our faith. We have to hold on to our faith. We can't get weak now. We can't take the gospel message of Jesus and somehow change it or water it down or make it say something it didn't say. We can't allow ourselves to be swept up in a lesser movement. Okay? Because there's a lot of movements going on. But there's only one movement that we are concerned with. That's new creation. That is new creation, the reconciliation of the world back to our Creator. Let's turn over to John chapter 4. And we're going to see the example of Jesus, because Jesus treated everyone the same. Because we may struggle with that. We may struggle with biases or prejudices I'm uncomfortable around this kind of person, or I don't know what to say to this person. How do I interact and how do I respond? Church, the example of Jesus is that he treated everyone the same. Now, he served them according to their individual needs, but he treated everyone the same with the universal truth. That's the example of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, as I serve someone, as I put my life out to actually meet the needs of someone around me, not everyone's going to need the same thing. And we see that in the life and the ministry of Jesus. Some people needed to be fed, so he fed them. Some people needed to have bones healed, to have muscles fixed. Some needed to be brought back to life, to have their breathing restarted. Some people needed inclusion. Some people that he met needed just acceptance and forgiveness. And so he met everyone where they were. He served them to meet their individual needs, and yet his message was consistent because it's universal. Let's look at John chapter 4, and let's start in verse 19. This is the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman at the well. You know the story, and so I wanted to pick it up at chapter 19, because it always amazes me, because we look back and just, we read these verses and go, whoa! The Gospels are so amazing, and Jesus just opens up for us such awesome truth. But church, before this was written down to be canonized as John chapter 4, that you and I can go back and see it, you know, in red ink to know that Jesus said it, this is the Son of God approaching a less than nobody in his society and imparting upon her eternal words of truth that 2,000 years later, his followers would still uphold and say, yes, yes, that's it. And Jesus cared about her enough to say, I'm just going to give you this message. Nobody else is here, one-on-one. It is an eternal truth, but you need to hear it. That's the example of Jesus, church. And so he says, she says in verse 19, John chapter 4, verse 19, the woman said to her, the woman said to him, Mister, I perceive you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you say that in Jerusalem is the place where people ought to worship. Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. The woman said to him, well, I know that Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. Jesus said, I who speak to you am he. So Jesus meets this woman. She's from a different background. She has different beliefs. She has different customs. She has different understandings and different practices. And church, the only way to get beyond earthly differences is holding all of us to a higher authority. That's the only solution. That's the only solution. Because if someone comes along and says, well, you need to answer to my authority to make me happy, and here's what I need you to do to atone or repent so that you and I can be good. No, you see, Jesus Christ went to the cross to die for all of our sins. That's why we put our faith and our hope in Christ alone. It is impossible for me to go around and atone to everybody else. It's impossible for you to go around and atone to everybody else. Jesus died. Our atonement's in Him. Our forgiveness is in Him. Our unity in this world is in Jesus Christ. And so, this woman says, look, you've got your way to worship, we've got our way to worship. And Jesus says, well, you see, there's someone greater than both of us. He's my Father in heaven. And this is how He says to worship. Church, that is the only way that we will have peace on earth. That is the only way that we will get along with other people that are different from us, that are not like us, that don't have the same beliefs and practices and understandings. We have to resort to a higher court, a higher authority, a higher power. Because if it's just you and I making rules in between us, we're never going to get along. Because I have this opinion. You have that opinion. I like to do things this way. You like to do things that way. We are not going to agree. And so we have to resort to an authority that is above all of us. God is spirit. God is spirit. Hey, I'm down here in the flesh, and I like things like this, and you like things like this. And God is spirit. And God says, I want you to worship me in spirit and truth. God is looking for people to worship Him in spirit and truth. If God is truly above us, then shouldn't we spend our time and energy figuring out what God wants from us? Yeah. Because it's futile for you and I down here, and I say you and I include us in this, the mess that we're looking at all around us. We're still a part of it. We're still involved in it. The solution is not you and I just figuring out who has the best earthly solution today or this week. That's not going to work. The solution has to be something greater than us. God is spirit, so we worship in spirit and truth. And it's not our truth. It's not their truth. It is God's truth. God determines truth. I don't determine it. They don't determine it. God determines it. So we all have to be humble. We all have to call everyone to humility, to humble themselves before the one that we are all from, before the one that we are all beneath. So church, just like Jesus, we serve others individually according to their needs, but we share universally the truth that everyone needs to hear. That's the example of Jesus. That's what he's called us to. All right? Let's turn over to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. You know, so much of Paul's writings, and it was such a great racial and cultural and, well, it was such a great divide. I mean, when Jesus comes to the world, when Pentecost happens and the church begins, and you now have God's people who have been forced to open up to those who were not God's people. You have the Apostle Paul, one who began his career as putting to death followers of Jesus and then becoming the most strident and outspoken follower of Jesus. He says, hey, my ministry, God has sent me for the Gentiles. I've had to go out to those who are far away and bring them near. Church, that means we have to go out. That's the example that we have in the Bible. We have to go out. It's very easy for us to come together because we feel so near and we feel close and we feel comfortable. But as you read through Paul's writings, Romans, Galatians, Corinthians, you see all of these problems. The gospel comes into the world to unite these two groups of people that are not united. So this is not a time when all this is going on around us in the world. This is not a time for us just to hunker down and say, oh, well, you know, it'll blow over like everything else. It's, you know, we've seen this before. That's not what the gospel does. The gospel goes directly into that world and says, here's the thing that can unite us. And so the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 3, let's start in verse 21. He says, but now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by His blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness because in His divine forbearance He had passed over former sins. It was to show His righteousness at the present time so that He might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. So then what has become of boasting? Well, it's excluded. By what kind of law? By a law of works? No, but by the law of faith. For we hold that one is justified by faith apart from works of the law, or is God the God of the Jews only? Is He not the God of Gentiles also? Yes, of Gentiles also. Since God is one who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised by faith, do we then overthrow this law by this faith? No, by no means. Instead, we uphold the law. God has come into the world and bringing His Son to us, God says, I'm making no cultural, racial, religious, tribal, no distinction. Everybody sinned, and everybody needs a Savior. And so God Himself provides the world with the solution. God Himself says, I will unite you in Christ. I will unite you in my Son. God recognizes the problem. God provides the solution. For you and I to go chasing another solution, a lesser solution, it's not going to work. For those that are looking for another answer besides Jesus Christ and His salvation, besides the grace that He gives us through His death, burial, and resurrection, it's not going to last. It's not going to make it. Because there's not power in anything else. Church, we made that confession that Mark reminded us of this morning. We took the bread and we drank of the cup and we confessed out loud that Jesus Christ is Lord. That there's not any room for you and I to have another Lord or a lesser Lord or two Lords or 47 Lords. There's one. It is Jesus Christ, God's only Son. That is our confession. That's what we hold on to. That is the power that we have received. How do we know that we've received power? Well, we're at peace with God. You know the peace of God. As he was reading, as Mark was reading the scriptures this morning, I was just asking myself, well, why? Michael, why do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? People like evidence, don't they? Like proof, like concrete things, things they can, well, prove your faith. Prove something invisible exists, right? And so I did. I sat there this morning and I said, why? Why do I believe? And I continued to go through the Lord's Supper. And God said, well, you believe because of the peace you have. You don't have peace in anyone else. You don't have peace in anything else. But God has granted me peace with Him. He's forgiven my sins. He's the one that's washed me clean. He's the one that's looked at me and said, okay, I take your confessed sins and I give you the righteousness of my Son. You can stand before me and you can now be a peacemaker. That's exactly what Paul said back in Corinthians. You now have received the ministry of reconciliation. You now have been equipped and given the job to bring others back to their Father through the Son. See, Jesus Christ, Paul says here in Romans chapter 3, Jesus was before the law, and He was after the law. Jesus Christ was before America. Can we agree? Yeah, Jesus Christ is going to be after America. Jesus Christ was before races, tribes, sin, everything that separates us, He was there before. And He will be there after. Jesus Christ unites us in God's righteousness and the unity that Jesus provides for us through His sacrifice is eternal. At peace with our Creator and given a message of peace to the world. That's good news today, church. Now we get to get out there and live it. And not be afraid. Not be scared of what people are saying or yelling. Trust what God has given us. Why do you believe? Well, because I'm at peace. I want others to be at peace. I don't want to do things that cause more discord. There's enough discord. There's enough yelling. There's enough burning and marching and all these terrible things. I want there to be peace. I know you want there to be peace. So this week, let's be those ministers of reconciliation. Let's call people back to the one that we all answer to. It's not another one of us. It's not another rule. It's not another law. It's not another person that we shall answer to or kneel before or atone to. That's not going to cut it. We are all called before the same God. This morning, if you need to respond to the invitation, we give you an opportunity. After we sing these songs together, we will have a chance to share and to just kind of catch up on prayer requests. But if you personally have need for prayer or baptism or encouragement or anything, let us know. Let's stand together and sing.
I'm If I walk in heaven's light, shun the wrong and do the right, I know the Lord will find a way for me. The Lord has said, go preach the word to all the world. The Lord has said, go preach the word. If I walk in heaven's light, shun the wrong and do the right, I know the Lord will find a way for me. Won't it be grand to hear him say, well done? Won't it be grand? Shun the wrong and do the right. Won't it be grand to hear him say, well done?
All right. We're going to pray for Joe this morning. Her business is closed, and so she is without work, and she needs work. And so we need to lift her up and just ask God to open the door that she needs. And so we're just going to go ahead and just pray directly for that. And then we will talk about some other things. But I want to pray directly for that before we move on this morning. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for always taking care of us. Lord, our hope and our faith are in you and you alone. And so we come before you this morning, not shaken, not scared, but faithful. Because you have told us whenever we have a need to look for you to provide the solution. And so we come before you this morning, Father, with a need. Joe needs work. And we are grateful for the work that she has had up to this point. And we ask that you guide her steps through this transition to the new work that she needs. She knows and she trusts and she believes that you are her provider. Father, you are all of our providers. You do so through different ways, different means, and different jobs. But you are the one that provides. And so we entrust her to you. We join her in prayer and in faith, knowing that you will provide. And we pray, Father, that you open the door that she needs, that you give her the wisdom and eyes to see the right door, and that you give her faith to enter in. We thank you for hearing our prayer. We offer this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. A few things I want us to catch up on and update and to see. Rebecca Vickers has had some seizures. She had to go to the hospital to get it checked out, and they haven't found anything, and she's back. She's back at the home. Her home has, didn't you say, Linda, zero cases? So they're doing, didn't you tell me that? That her home had zero cases, that it's okay there. So it's good there, but she's having seizures and they don't know why. So we need to lift her up and just ask God to take care of her in this. Also, Donna shared with me this morning that God blessed her and Kevin with a new air conditioner this week. And so, and when I say new air conditioner, that's like from not having an air conditioner, right? Yes, from going from no air conditioner to a air conditioner. So we just praise God and we join in their thanksgiving for that. Anna, Deborah Jean, anything different change? Okay. 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 Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. Well, we will pray the truth gets to her, and when it does, that she will have the strength to, well, that she'll find strength in Jesus to overcome. Okay. All right. How is Christy doing?
Christy's surgery made good. She's doing all right.
Okay.
Dakota, he's still, well, Craig says he's 100% better, but he's laying around. He doesn't have any strength.
Yeah, he's wiped out.
He is wiped out, and he lost like 10 or 15 pounds. He looks like a beanpole.
Okay. Did Janet, have you received any updates or any news about your WBS students? Have they been able to find anybody?
I have a contact in India,
okay,
and one in Kenya, and I have contacted them because I have one in India and one in Kenya.
Okay.
And they are reaching out.
Okay.
If they're not in the same town,
sure. Right. All right. Well, good. Good. Well, we'll continue to pray. Well, good. Well, I'm glad it's moving in the right direction, but we'll still pray for all of them to get the help they need. Well, singing is the most dangerous thing we're doing this morning. I mean, it really is. Okay. Any change with Roy?
No, they're good. They've been trying to take the ventilator off, but he's still on.
Okay, so he's still on the ventilator?
Louis is doing better.
Okay. What's Lewis's dad's name? Oh, Lewis's dad. Got it. Okay. So what other things, new things, updates, or yes, Vern? Okay.
Which means an injection every month.
Okay.
And my vision, it isn't good, even in both eyes. And for some reason, I'm not able to hear very well. I don't know. I've had a lot of sinus, and I don't know if that's blocked. I'm doing sinus things every day, but it doesn't seem to be getting any better.
Okay. Okay, Ty is having surgery tomorrow on his back. Okay. Okay. Yes. Yes, I do. Yeah. Yes, Donna. All right.
How about rain? I know. I'll be quiet. And Sanders, what put that thing on Sanders?
His brother that was exposed went and got tested, and the test was negative. And so I don't think they're going to, right, I don't think they're going to get tested or anything. So he was negative, and so as far as I know, they're all good, all clear. So, yes, Steve.
Larry Boseman, that we asked for prayers. He passed away this past Thursday.
Okay.
So we want to remove all the Boseman family. Funeral service would be 1:00 Tuesday out of the Church of Christ.
Okay. Anybody else? Yeah, Sherry. Okay. And so he's in the hospital?
He's going home today.
Oh, he is going home for sure. Okay. All right. Dale?
There'll be a memorial service for Don Andrews up at Alamo Gordo next Saturday.
Oh, okay. All right.
Okay.
And just remember Matt Spear and his mom went to Colorado this weekend to spread his dad's ashes. And so they're on that trip right now. So just remember them, that they will have a a safe trip. Charlie had a checkup, but everything is good. Everything is good there. With the second service, I think with the second service we had either 45 or 47. So I think they said we had 30 with this group, and then about 45 with that group. So it was most everybody's with us. So that was really good. And Rex, what'd you have? Okay, all right, we're going to close out in prayer. If you didn't get a chance beforehand, you can do your giving on the way out. And then if you need to use the restroom, that's fine, but let's get outside and let's fellowship in the parking lot. Open air is better. It's healthier. It's less conducive to spreading anything or if you have anything. But all right, let's go to our Father in prayer, and then we'll close out today. Heavenly Father, we are so very grateful for the good news of Jesus. And Father, we praise your name because you have seen fit to give us your Son to reconcile us to yourself. Father, you are spirit, and so we will always worship you in spirit and in truth. Father, you are the one name that is above all names, and so we will bow our heads and bow our knee to you and you alone, that we will not be ashamed of the gospel. We are not ashamed of Jesus Christ, your Son, because he is the only name by which everyone must be saved. We praise you. We thank you for allowing us to gather together today. We thank you for granting us forgiveness of our sins. We thank you for filling us with your Holy Spirit. We ask that you guide our steps this week, Father, so that we may bring reconciliation to those around us. Blessed be your name. Father, we lift up those that we know about and those that we have heard about, and we pray that you be with Deborah Jean. We ask, Father, that you heal her arm quickly. We pray, Father, that you be with her. And we pray, Lord, that when she hears the truth, we pray, Lord, that you will turn her heart to you. Father, we ask that you be with Coda as his body recovers from pneumonia. Restore his strength. We ask that you be with the Bozeman family as they remember, as they celebrate, and as they mourn together on Tuesday. Father, we are grateful to hear of progress for the World Bible School students. We pray that you bring protection and swiftness to those that need to find them and to help them. We pray that you be with the other students that need help right now. We lift them to you, and we just pray that you send your messengers to serve them in your kingdom. Heavenly Father, we lift up Sherry's brother. We pray that he will be able to go home today, that he will be able to do the work that he needs to do. We pray that you strengthen his hands, his heart, to do all of the things that are on his plate right now. We pray that your strength will be mighty in him. Father, we lift up Bill and we pray that you heal his neck. We pray that you work in him for good and give him comfort from this pain. Father, we lift up Roy and we pray that this week he will get off that ventilator. We pray that you strengthen his lungs, that you give him what he needs so that he can breathe on his own. And we lift up Lewis's dad in the hospital, Father, and we pray for physical strength and for faith and for trust. Father in heaven, we lift up Fern and we pray that you bless her vision and her hearing. We pray that you give her good. Watch over her and her treatments. Let this be a blessing to her. And I pray, Father, that you heal her ears so that she can hear. Heavenly Father, we ask for rain. And we ask for you to bring for us the rain that we need. We come to you, Lord, because you are the giver of all good things. Heavenly Father, we lift up Ty and we ask that his surgery tomorrow on his back will be good. Heavenly Father, we ask that you be with Don Andrew's family as they travel and as they remember him next weekend. Father, we lift up our leaders in this country and in our church. We pray that you give wisdom, courage, and strength to those who have taken upon their shoulders more than just their own lives, but also the lives, the safety, the spiritual direction of others. We ask your blessings on our leaders. Heavenly Father, we lift up Joe again, and we just pray that you open that door. Father, we lift up Rebecca, and we ask that you bring healing to her seizures, that you bring them to an end. Father, we are celebrating with Kevin and Donna, and we just thank you for a wonderful, healthy report. We thank you for seeing her through long days and big steps. And we thank you for blessing her. We thank you for blessing them with an air conditioner, for taking care of them, cooling their house down. We thank you for providing the good things that we need. Father, we lift up Matt and his mom as they travel this weekend. Please watch over them. We ask that you be with our kids, our parents, and we just pray, Father, that faith will be imparted and strengthened through these difficult times. Father, we love you. We recognize the things that are going on around us. We understand, Father, that when the enemy is exposed, he thrashes about. Guide us. Guard our faith. Show us your way. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.